Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Welcome to Every Nation Brisbane. For all of you who are here for the first time, can we welcome our guests here? You're welcome. Hope you feel at home here. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And we are currently in a series called Prodigal God. And we've been going through for the last 2 weeks today, and then next week we will end this series. We've been just chewing on Luke 15, so I'll get into it in a little bit. But can we rise to our feet just in reverence for the reading of God's Word? We'll be reading from verse 20 of Luke 15. We'll go to the end of the chapter. And it says here, "And he arose and came to his father's. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Let's all read together. "But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was hangry. That's just me, sorry. "But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, for an awakening in our spirit, especially with the topic that we're going to be dealing with today. Lord, there's a recognition that we need to open our hearts for what you're about to speak. And Lord, I want to move out of the way because we want to hear from Daddy today. What's on your heart for both the younger sons and older sons that are amongst us? In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message today: You and Me Belong Together. Time of message is Home and Away. Everybody say Home and Away. Now, I want to tell you a little story before we get started here today. This is the story of a king who was approached by a farmer who worked the vegetation in his land. He didn't have a huge plot of land, just a tiny portion of land. And he came to the king and he said, "King, I have managed to work the soil that is mine, and I've managed to grow carrots, and these carrots are the largest carrots that I have, and I'm giving them to you. Please receive these as a token of my love and appreciation." And he gives them to the king. And the king says, "Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much." And he receives the carrots. And he says, just as the man is about to walk away, he says to the man, "Hold on, I believe that I own the land that's next to your small plot of land. I'm going to give you my plot of land. Since you've stewarded so well the tiny plot of land that you have, go ahead and have the plot of land that's next to it. It's all yours." And there wasn't this expectation of this. This was just merely what was on his heart to do. And so he leaves with a joy in his heart. He's joyful. He didn't expect that. It's like, wow, thank you so much. Meanwhile, off to the corner, witnessing this whole dialogue is this nobleman. The nobleman goes, okay, he's given carrots. If I give him something bigger, then maybe I'll get something bigger. And so he comes the next day, and he comes to the king's court, and this guy is also a farmer, but he breeds beautiful stallions. And he says, this is my finest stallion that I have raised, and I've raised it for this purpose, and this is to give it to you. Here you go, king. And the king says, thank you, and receives the stallion. And the nobleman is like, and he says, I know what's on your heart. You see, the man who gave me carrots yesterday gave them to me, but you come to me giving yourself the stallion. How many of us come to God with an agenda? How many of us come to God giving but expecting something in return and sit there in our worship going, I may be weak. Let's break the scripture down a little bit because we're going to deal with the older son. And as we're dealing with it, because as we're looking at this parable, the parable would be perfect if it ended with the celebration, right? But it doesn't. There's this other character that comes in, the older son, who is there. So the older son, he's there, and he doesn't even know that the celebration is happening. He has to consult with a servant to know what's going on. The Bible says in verse 25, now his older son was in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house. How many of you know you can be on the field? The field speaks of also for us the mission field or where God's called us to, but you don't know what's going on in the house of the Lord. And there's music and dancing. And then the next verse, verse 26, it says, and he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. How many of us have forgotten why we celebrate? How many of us have forgotten why we're here? How many of us have forgotten that we've been around the Father's love the whole time, but have forgotten as older brothers that his love has always been available to us? See, if we, and he said to him, this is the servant speaking to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. Now, at that point, would we all agree that the older brother should be celebrating, right? Shouldn't that be a point of happiness? Like, his long-lost brother has been gone. He's gone wayward. But notice his reaction. He's not celebratory. How many of us have kind of lost the edge when we see somebody who has come home to Christ or come, you know, we see the baptisms or we see people responding to the gospel and it's just routine for us because we've become so accustomed to working the field that we forget about the love that's available to us in the house. We don't even recognize what the music and dancing is for anymore. And his reaction, the next verse, verse 28, says, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. I love the love of the father. I don't know about you, but to be completely honest, as a father to my three kids, there's a term in Samoan called fa'ali. How many of you Samoans know what fa'ali means? That means like, you know, this is kind of like in Tagalog, gigil. It doesn't have an explanation that you can have in one word or one phrase. You have to kind of act it. Fa'ali looks like this, like anger, not wanting to engage anymore. It's just like anger, this unrighteous anger brews up in him and he refuses to go in. See, this type of lostness is so subtle because you're in the house, but you're not in the house. And this is what we call the older brother syndrome that so many of us can fall into. Just because we're around the activity of the field, but when this sort of stuff happens, this comparative nature that arises in us, this entitlement, and when we see that actually it should be a reason for all of us to celebrate, we feel like a refusal in our spirits to go in. We get offended. We don't want to go in. It might even look like physically not wanting to go into church. I know none of y'all have felt like that. I don't want to be around those people because they're going to celebrate and dance. And I don't feel like celebrating and dancing. Let me just give you a clue. That's the older brother syndrome. Remember the crowd of whom Jesus is addressing at this time. He is addressing the tax collectors and he's addressing the Pharisees. The Pharisees immediately recognize who he's talking about at this point. Here standing before them is God manifest in human flesh, and they refuse to go in. They stay outside with their religious opinion, angry. that God himself would even engage and talk with the broken, with the lost. And that's why when the lost get found, there is no celebration, because the gospel was never the point. It's performance. It's the appearance. And what ends up provoking their jealousy is actually that the lost people are doing the things that they really want to do. It's just they are keeping it hidden. And this is why, you know, this is why we see people who are cloaked in religious robes criticizing, and then it comes out later on that they're the ones that are committing vile acts because they've been good at hiding their stuff. Now, let me give you the end right here. This is I'll come at it from my perspective. See, I am an older brother. Just in case you all thought I was judging anybody in here, that this is starting to prick. See, even for some of us, with this rising of offense in our spirit when it comes, that's another sign of the older brother spirit getting on us. Let me just tell you that I have a proclivity towards being an older brother because I was raised religiously in a pastor's home, and I was put on a pedestal, myself and my sister, as pastor's kids. So there was an expectation. But I got into my teenage years, and you get good at it. You get really good at it. And I know some of y'all, come on, let's be real. Some of y'all got good at it too. Saturday night, doing this, that, and the third, we'll just leave it that. Then spray on whatever the hot fragrance was at the time. For me, it was like jazz or cool water, trying to drown out your sin in that cheap cologne, Yves Saint Laurent knockoff, and then walk into church like nothing happened. Older brother syndrome. That was me. That was my lifestyle. I remember having debates, you know, like with Christian leaders on my university campus, telling them, hey, you should, the student bar at Auckland University, for all you Auckland Uni graduates who might remember this, was a bar called Shadows. That sounds like sin right there, right? And I say, no Christian should be in Shadows. And these Christians, rightfully so, would tell me to my face, hey, who is going to reach the people in Shadows? And I was like, well, it won't be us. We are the people of God. Only to know that, I wasn't going to Shadows, but I'd go to the other clubs around the corner, Club Roma, Shakers, you know. So I'm starting to bring up old stuff for the guys who grew up in the 90s. Club Polly, you know, you'd go to all these clubs, but you wouldn't go to Shadows because you're self-righteous. You just go around your sin to another place where nobody else knows about your sin. You just hide it better. That's the older brother syndrome. Always pointing the finger at other people's sin, but when it's your sin, you expect grace, you expect mercy. It's not until God reveals that you are just as lost, if not more lost, than the younger brothers. Think about this for a moment. There was a reason why the younger brother left the house in the first place. It was this religious suppression expectancy, that this pressure that must have come from the older son or this older brother environment. Where the younger brother's like, you know what? I can't handle this hypocrisy. I can't handle being around this self-righteousness anymore. I just got to go and be myself. Give me my inheritance so I can go. Because I'm tired of keeping up with the standard that's expected of me. I'm here to tell you, as the pastor of here at Every Nation Brisbane, it's not about what you do. It's about what he's already done for us. Don't get caught up in the older brother syndrome. And I'll give you this for just for the revelation as the ending of my message, but I feel led to bring it here. See, the gospel is what's necessary to draw us back to him, not our religious duty. See, for the younger brother to break his addiction. So, because how many of you know it's real, right? Like you're a younger brother or younger sister, if you want to take it that way, and you run away from God. God brings you back by his love. But how many of you know sometimes the prowess of the temptation that you used to face comes on a little bit strong, especially when you have moments of crisis and you need the grace of the gospel to be able to choose God as opposed to choose those former addictions. And the voice of the enemy starts amplifying, try it again, try it again, try it again. I get it. We get it. That's a struggle for those of the younger, who are of the younger brother or younger sister environment. And that's why you need the gospel. But even more so for us as older brothers or older sisters who grew up in religious environments, who grew up around self-righteousness, and it may not even be Christianity. It may be some other religion where it's expected, do, 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 do. And then we get the revelation of the gospel, but we become older brotherish. And it's so subtle how we'll move back into that religious activity, performing our way back into needing to be needed. So that when a younger brother comes and gets all the goodies, we're kind of like angry. How come they get to get all the stuff? See, he didn't just have a party. He had a fattened calf party. These calves were reserved for parties that you have with the whole neighborhood coming through. All your cousins and your cousins' cousins come to this party. And he's like, man, I've been working this field for all these years. Let me get really real. He probably was expecting, hey, I hope that younger son never comes back, because then all of this is mine. Totally disinterested with the brokenness of the younger sons who are in our city. Totally disinterested, totally disengaged with the fact there are lost people in here. There are lost brothers and sisters who need the older brothers and sisters to get out and find them. I don't know about your culture, but in the Samoan culture, that if my sister is 3 years younger than me, if she so far as ran 2 meters away from my house, my dad was, hey, sorry, alo po ay po fenga kenge ko mai ko fight mai le kenge nga, you know, which means I'll expand on it a little bit more. You better go find her, because if you don't find her, you stay out there yourself. There's an expectancy, right? Because in moments like that, you're kind of like, yeah, get lost. All this is mine. Woo-hoo, I'll take your room, even though I have one of my own. I'll take another one. You know, like, bye. You know, evil young teenagers. Well, that's the way we can bring that mentality into the church. Older brother syndrome. Here he comes. And Luke 15, verse 29, he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me even a young goat that I may celebrate with my friends. And then the next verse, verse 30. But then, oh, this gets me every time. Check this out. But when this son of yours, I mean, you know what's missing there. It's not, but when my brother, it's when this son of yours, it's not even your son, it's the son of yours. Like he happened to happen, like he was an accident or something. The son of yours came, and notice this, he highlights his sin, who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You kill the fattened calf for him? Prostitute, brother? Like he highlights the fact that he's evil, I'm good, where's mine? This breaks my heart thinking about this, because that was me. And that is my tendency. That is my proclivity. I am older brother. I'm confessing this to you as my brothers and sisters, that God has redeemed me from this, but I have to fight to continue to keep the gospel in front of me every day, because this is my natural proclivity, to frown and look upon those who are broken and lost. So here we are. We have this older brother, and the father responds. He responds this way. I'm just going to highlight these things. See, there was a book written by Timothy Keller. He wrote a book called Prodigal God, and he highlights these particular characteristics of the older brother syndrome. And I already know what it's like. I want, please avoid the temptation, again, of thinking that this message would be good for somebody else. Because that immediately is older brother syndrome right there, all right? Golly, if only so-and-so was here. They needed this. Firstly, there's a recognition of deep anger. Everybody say deep anger. There's an anger that arises in us. It's not just this comparison that happens in your heart. And what's different about, and Tim Keller highlights this, what's different about this sort of anger is because we're robed in Pharisaic religious robes, we'll look upon what happens and kind of swallow it. Okay. Tim Keller, in his book, he talks about this alcoholic who was married to this wife. Like, things would happen, and she would respond in grace, but never forgive him for any of the things that he did. And then when he got delivered from it all, there was a moment they had an argument, and all of a sudden, all of the sins that were done against her had been kept for years and years and years and years. There was never forgiveness. It's like, because you used to be like this, and you have the nerve to think that you're saved now? You're not acting saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love covers a multitude of sins. You don't hold sin against people. You know, you walk down the street, or you walk into church, and somebody says something wrong, you're like, mm-hmm, I remember that. You're just like, praise the Lord, you know. Just, but in your mind, oh, I got that one. Notebook. Some of y'all are doing that to me. Yeah, he should have had his slides together. There's a deep anger in all of us when we battle with the older brother syndrome. Verse 28, he was angry and refused to go in. See, it's that anger that causes you to refuse to go in. I'm not going to Every Nation Brisbane because they're a bunch of hypocrites. I know none of y'all have heard that voice before or even said that. But if you think that, welcome. I am Pastor Hypocrite because I follow Jesus. I'm far from perfect. But it's by the grace of God and the calling of God of which I grab this microphone and preach to you. It's not because of my self-righteousness. It's because God has chosen me. And by his grace, I get the opportunity to love on you and bring the truth of his gospel. Welcome to the Hypocrite Show, where we come before God in our imperfection towards his perfect love for us. After deep anger, we look at verse 29, and he answered his father and says, look, these many years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat. Nah, he sounds like a young goat. That I might celebrate with his friends, this joyless mechanical obedience takes place, where you start to grow in the routine of duty rather than this celebration and delight. And everything that you do is out of duty. Like, I do this for the church. Yep, check. And then the moment you get offended, it's like, but I did this for you, and I did this for you, and I did this for you, Pastor Nelly, I did this for you, whoever your life group leader is, I did this for you. Why aren't you able to do this and this and this? There's this expectancy of a return. There's this joyless, mechanical obedience. It's not propelled by the love of Christ. It's a religious duty. And that's a sign that of the older brother syndrome we fall into. Verse 30, but when this son of yours came who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. This coldness towards younger brother types. Let me ask you something, okay? For those of you who have been a Christian for over a year, 12 months, and this is what's sad about the body of Christ right now, because 95% of the body of Christ around the world has never shared their faith with somebody who needs to hear the gospel. 95%, that's staggering. Let me ask you, if you've been saved over a year, have you shared the gospel with anybody? I'm not talking about, even for me, I'm not talking about me grabbing a microphone in front of this, my beloved church here. I'm talking about being on the street and sharing the gospel with people, with the broken. You got to be careful with that because, and again, I'm not trying to say, okay, Pastor Nelly said we need to do that. So that means that I, as an older brother type, I need to get out there and preach the gospel. Otherwise, he's going to check on me. Wahahaha. No. But there's a coldness towards the broken. It's not based on what God's done for you. See, when you recognize what he's done for you and through you, there's a leveling of the playing field where you don't, I don't come at Helios like this going, yeah, you need the gospel. You need to follow Jesus. You need to turn or burn, repent or get sent. That's what you need to do. That's not the way I preach the gospel. That's an older brother propelled preaching of the gospel. But one who has been motivated by the gospel says, man, you know what? I've been praying for you, Helios. And you recognize at this point of brokenness, I can lead you towards somebody that has helped me and transformed my life and brought me to a place of recognizing that in my brokenness, he will hear me in my sinfulness. And I want to lead you there. Will you follow me to come back home? Will you? Don't take photos of that and pretend we're like that sort of church. I'm proposing to him or something, right? But there's a coldness to younger brother types. Check your heart. Some of us complain about our environments way too much when God puts us in those environments to reach those we're complaining about. Those are your younger brothers. But you're grown cold because it's all about you, your stuff. Where's my younger? Where's mine? Yeah, that's right. He's like, end it. It's going too long, Pastor Nelly. Coldness to younger brother types. I'm here to tell you today and confess before you, my brothers and sisters, that this creeps in my heart. I fight it. I fight it. And the way to fight it, you know what, to be honest, is prayer and worship. Because your heart becomes conformed to his heart. And you start to see the work of the gospel as an older brother type. that he's worked at. And see, I was more broken than the broken. At least the younger brother knew he was broken. He was running towards his brokenness. But I can subtly think that just because I do ritualistic Christian activity, that I'm safe and all right. And that's dangerous. And that's why we grow cold to the older brother types. Because we don't have a heart to leave the house in the first place. Where's mine? Back to verse 29, he says, and you never gave me a young goat. There's a lack of assurance of the Father's love. And we feel like we have to perform to earn the Father's love. We feel like we have to show up to stuff in order to earn the Father's love. We feel like we have to do this and do that in order to attain the Father's love. So that, you know, and inevitably, as Hebrews 9 says, that it is appointed for man to die once and then face judgment. We will all be judged and we will all stand before God, but you better not pull out your long list of what you've done for him at that point. He knows what you've done. He knows the motive behind what you've done too. And when we stand before God, it's like, you know what? You saved me from being an older brother type. I'm not even going to bother pulling out a list of the nations I've been to, a list of the people that I've led to you. I'm not going to even bother pulling that out because that doesn't matter in your sight. I'm here because I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by a Father who loves me, and I'm assured of that love. It saddens me. I've talked to pastors all over the world that are still not sure if they're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven at the conclusion of this life. I'm like, then what are you preaching? I'm not sure. You know, it's up to him. It's up to him if he wants to save me. It's up to him if he wants to deliver me. I'm like, yeah, he has. It is finished. Tetelestai. From the cross, you are saved. Like, step into that. See, there's a lack of assurance. And so we feel like we can't enter in with confidence to that love. So we feel like, okay, let me just get, I'm only in this Christianity thing anyway for fire insurance. So let me just do what I can to perform my way into the Father heart of God. Look, that's a different religion. I'm not even going to demean other religions and people come from those religions, but you know that's the heart of most religions, is trying to obey laws in order to attain the Father's heart, and that's what Jesus was coming against. He says, you don't need to do all that. That's why I'm hanging with these tax collectors, because they recognize their brokenness. And they're willing to come to me and approach me. But you stand on the outskirts of this meeting, not entering into this relationship. I'm not talking about the proximity of which they were standing. I'm talking about the critique that keeps them on the outside. What is that? Is there a criticism that arises in you that critiques when the Father loves the broken? And we've got to be careful too, because it can become subtle when we do activity for those who are broken. What is the real reason? Are we like the man who bred the stallions, who says, yeah, I'm out on the street feeding the poor, Instagram. Or I'm on a missions trip. Look at this photo of me feeding this poor kid from this third world country. Oh, Instagram. God knows the motives of our heart and as to why we do those things. It's subtle. I hope you're catching this. Because it's easy to think, okay, Pastor Nelly, what do I do? You don't do. You just lay into his love. What's the 12 steps, Pastor Nelly? Lastly, there's this unforgiving, judgmental spirit. And I think I've highlighted this enough. See, next week, I'm going to be talking about a character who's not in this story, but is all over this story. Somebody that you might not have seen in this story. Here is this older brother. He's judgmental. He's unforgiving. He doesn't want to forgive. Like, the Father has extended his forgiveness towards him. And how many of us, even in this room today, a room like this, walk around with bitterness and unforgiveness because that subtlety of self-righteousness creeps into our hearts and creeps into our lives. And I'm standing before you to let you know that this is something I battle with from time to time. But I have victory as long as I stay close to the gospel and understanding the power of what he's already done. I position myself to receive his forgiveness. And in the abundance, overabundance of this forgiveness, I can forgive others who have done wrong to me. See, the younger brother never did anything wrong to the older brother. He did it to the Father. The Father forgave him. Like, flying colors forgave him. The younger brother, who had never been a, you know, had a right to be offended, grew offended and didn't forgive him for a sin that wasn't committed against him. Look, this needs to be a church. Every Nation Brisbane, this is the way we engage the lost, is creating an environment where people are welcome home, welcome towards the gospel. But it's going to take us older brother types, older brotherish type people, constantly being in an environment centered around the gospel where we feel that we can repent, keep our hearts tender towards the gospel. Last thing I want to say is, please don't think that I'm directing this sermon right at you and get offended with me. But at the same time, you've got to understand that this parable does not have a happy ending. You see, because the younger son starts the parable on the outside and finishes the parable on the inside, celebrating. The older son starts the parable on the inside, the parable does not resolve, and he's left on the outside. And so when God says to us, and this should mean something to us, but if our heart has been so seared, this won't mean anything to us. He says to the son, as he says to everybody in this room, son, daughter, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Meaning that fattened calf over there, you could have killed her any time, but you want to try and, you know, keep this righteousness, this self-righteousness before you in order to perform your way into my heart so you can get my fattened calf, not understanding that I own the cattle on 1,000 hills and you could have had any of those calves at any time. But you don't come to me for steak. You come to me because I'm daddy. Son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. And it was fitting to celebrate and be glad. How many of us have lost our gladness? There's times where I have. Getting into the monotonous routine of activity, getting burnt out. Look, if you're in the spirit, you'll never get burnt out. When God showed up to Moses in a manifest presence, he told him, the angel told him, take your shoes off because this is holy ground. He approached him and he manifested himself in a burning bush. And the Bible's really clear that that bush was burning with the presence of God, but the bush itself was not consumed. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit. He was trying to convey to Moses, look, you will never burn out as long as you're in the Spirit, as long as you are filled with the grace that I've given you to do what you're called. When you get burnt out when you are outside of what I called you to do and what I haven't graced you. Look, there's a lot of good activity that's going on. I'm not saying that's wrong, but is it yours? Is it what God's called you to do? And it was fitting at this time to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. How do we respond to this, my brothers and sisters? If you are in here and you've battled an older brother's spirit, the response is simple. 4 words, repent and come inside. What does repentance look like? Again, turning away from the sin of thinking your righteous activity helps to fulfill your purpose in God. When it was never that, it was never propelled by that, it was propelled by his love. You turn away from that and turn towards positioning yourself to receive his grace and his mercy and letting that drive everything that you do. You do everything, you live a life in the zone of thankfulness and gratitude for the rest of your existence, that everything I get to do, you know, I can have my ears stroked by the words, man, I don't know how you do that. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Like after this service, you know, people see I'm leading worship up here and then I'm preaching this word and then I can go after this and then people might say, oh, wow, that was a lot of work. I don't know how you do that. See, if I'm basing myself on self-righteousness, I'll be like, yeah, I don't know. Or even more religious, you know, like we say in the Philippines, si Lord. But it's not about that. This is what I'm called to do. And because I'm doing what I'm called to do, God empowers me supernaturally to do what I'm called to do. There's a supernatural grace on it. The reason why you can't recognize how I do what I do is because God's doing it through me. He's fueling me. He's giving me the thoughts and energy and all of that to be able to convey this word to you. When you are in the zone of doing what God has called you to do, there will be enough, more than enough resources, time, energy to do what God's called you to do. But when you're outside of that, you don't recognize moments of celebration because you're so consumed and like trying to make things happen yourself, strive and trying to perform. Today is the day of repentance. You can turn away from that attitude and turn towards God. It's recognizing the rhythm of what He's called you to do.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.